give God some praise, amen, for his goodness. Hallelujah. Let's just thank God right now. He's been good to us, has he not? Amen. We get a chance to see another beautiful day, maybe a little overcast right now. But you know what? Any day is a good day. Amen. It doesn't matter how bad it looks outside, and it doesn't matter how bad things may be right now. God has a way of working everything out. Hallelujah.
Y'all, excuse me for my little raspiness. I was out in the rain for the last, several days and messing around out there. I'm not as young as I think I am. And so you get out there and you forget that you got to get back inside. And so got me a little raspiness and running and all that other good stuff. And so, but I thank God. Hallelujah. Because again, his mercy endures forever. And so I'm excited to be down here in the wilderness again. I love being down here. I told Kevin and Becky that, you know, I would be down here as much as I can. Praise the Lord. And so I get an opportunity to start the season. I think this is my first time ever starting the season out. Hallelujah. And so I get a chance to break bread with the first time of the season. Amen. And so with that, I'm excited about God's goodness and his mercy. Praise God. And so I'm not going to belabor the point. I'm going to take us over to Philippians chapter 3. If you have your Bibles there, I don't know what page yours is. Mine is 1588, but that's not yours. Praise God. And so with that being the case, Philippians chapter 3. And when you get there, say word. Amen. Give you all a few moments to finish turning. 868. Amen. And if y'all don't mind, that's all right. It's all well. Someone's trying to reach you, and that's okay. Praise God. It doesn't bother me at all. I'm going to read Philippians 3, 12 through 14, if that's okay with you. And short, say a quick little prayer. Spend a few minutes with you this morning in this passage of Scripture as the Apostle Paul writes to the church of Philippi. And it says in 12 through 14, Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity just to share in your word, to come together, Heavenly Father, to praise your holy and your matchless name. God, I ask right now that, Lord, you pour out your blessings right now on everyone that's underneath the sound of my voice. Certainly over this entire campground, God. There are so many souls here, Lord, that love you, Lord. They may not have made it out to this service this morning, but there's so many people here, Heavenly Father, who are looking to enjoy a wonderful Memorial Day weekend, God. And so we just ask that you keep everybody in the campground safe, Lord, and let your spirit be felt, Heavenly Father, everywhere. We thank you for what you do each and every day in our lives. We're so undeserving, God, for what it is that you've done for us in laying your son on the cross, that we may have life and have it more abundantly. But now, God, that he has risen and he's seated at the right hand of you, you have given us charge over our lives to live a life holy and pleasing to you, a life that's lined with your will, God. And so we surrender ourselves this day that you may be pleased in all that we do, say, and think. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Let everybody say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm going to take a few things out of my pocket. I feel like I'm just glad. My pockets are full of everything. I don't know. It seems like the older I get, the more things I collect. And so I just don't know. But I got to get some of this stuff out of my pocket. My goodness. I would have my car in my pocket if it would fit. I'm sorry?
This one, too.
This one, too.
He goes to the doctor. He says, there's 5 pounds in my pocket, doctor.
5 pounds in his pocket. I can believe it because I make sure when I go to the doctor, I try to take everything off because I don't want to cheat myself. Amen. But the Apostle Paul writes to the church of Philippi because the church of Philippi is in a little bit of trouble. And the trouble that they're in is that they have some wrangling that's happening among the fellowship there. There are some people within the church at that particular point in time who are causing a ruckus. They're causing strife. They're causing division. They're doing all this kind of stuff to stop and hinder the progress of God's word in the lives of people. Now, why do I talk about that this morning? Because I always share with the body of Christ that no matter what the particular scripture is pointing to at that moment, there's a principle in the word of God that we can always extract for ourselves and make it applicable to everything that happens in our lives. They may have been talking about one particular thing, but the word is applying to every aspect of our lives. And so there may not be any wranglings in our church, but there may be some other wranglings in our lives. Amen. How many people, and Kevin said it earlier, how many of us have been through some valleys? Well, we all have. Amen. There's some wranglings in our lives each and every day. There's a wrangling in the campground right now. You may not know what the wrangling is, but somebody woke up this morning and they were not happy about something this morning. Somebody may have left the egg out. I don't know. Somebody may have left the charcoal outside and it may not be any good today. I mean, there's so many things that come to sidetrack us each and every day that we tend to forget. I mean, we tend and forget to give God glory and praise for what it is that He has done. Amen. And so, you know, I want to talk about that principle about pressing on. Amen. That's what the Apostle Paul says. Press what? On. That means there's some things working against us in our lives that are hindering or attempting to stop us from being the best us that we could be. Hallelujah. When Christ died for us, He called us new creations. Did He not? He says, old things have what? Behold, all things have become what? New. Amen. And so God has a different expectation of us now that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen. He has expectations that we will live this life according to His will. He has expectations that we will line ourselves up and humble ourselves even in the most darkest times in our life. It doesn't matter how deep the valley is. God has an expectation that we'll lift our eyes up to the hills from which cometh our help. Our help comes from who? God. And so, yes, there are times when things are difficult and daunting. But God is still able. I was telling Brother Jim this morning, I did not recognize him from the last time that I saw him. He did me a great favor. The time that I saw him several years back, my car was going through some major problems. As a matter of fact, I think Kevin may have remembered it. He was always talking about my truck having problems. And so Brother Jim helped me out to get a new engine for my car. And so he put me in a position to where I could go to the dealership and get myself an engine. And it was at a little bit of a reduced price, certainly much more reduced than what the dealership was trying to get it to me for. And so I was going through I've only had the vehicle for a year and a half. It was a used vehicle, but I still owed a great note on it. And he helped me get that. He helped me through my time of what? Trouble. And you know, when you buy a vehicle and you pay all this money and all of a sudden the warranty people don't want to pay for their part of it, and you're left with this big bill, and yet you still have to pay for the vehicle, the maintenance on it, and everything that goes wrong, and you're looking at what you have coming into your house, you're looking at what goes out of your house, you find yourself at a great adversity. Sometimes you don't feel like praising God, do you? There's some other things you want to say at that moment, aren't there? There's some other ways you want to behave at that moment, don't you? But Paul says, I press on anyway. And here it is. He worked it out for me. Things worked well. I'm sailing right along. And 2 years later, guess what? The engine goes bad. What? Again. And so you start scratching your head and you're wondering what in the world is happening. So it's no different here. Paul says something that's vitally important to you and I when he talks about in verse 12. Listen to what he says. He says, not that I have already attained. He was encouraging the church that even though he's Apostle Paul, some great things have been done through his life by Christ Jesus. He still has a lot of work to do in his own what? Life. He doesn't have it easy because he's the Apostle Paul. You know, we read about these great miracles where they talk about handkerchiefs were put to his body. And from the handkerchief, the people laid it on other people. Demonic spirits left. People were healed. People's lives were changed, but yet here this great man of God that God has used for mighty miracles still had what? Problems. And he wanted to encourage the church that no matter what you're going through, God is still what? Good. And His mercy endures what? Forever. We go through these seasons and times of our lives, but these seasons and times, they come and go. No different than the season that we're in right now, that we're starting off Memorial Day weekend, because it is the season leading into the summer where we love to camp and enjoy and experience everybody's fellowship and do all these great things. But this season will come and this season will what? Go. No different than our problems, our trials, our tribulations. Our seasons will what? Come and they will do what? Go. And we have to be reminded all the time to give God praise no matter what season it is in our lives.
Because seasons will come and seasons will go. Paul says, listen, not that I have attained already. He says, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. Well, why did Christ lay hold of all of us? That we, because he loves us. Absolutely. That we might be changed. That we might be better today than what we were when
yesterday.
That we would no longer live the life feeling powerless or hopeless or having no outlook for a better tomorrow. He says, for suffering endures what? For a night. But what comes in the morning?
Joy.
It is good to know that tomorrow morning will bring a brand new day with new mercies. And no matter what happened on the day before, because God loves us so much, he's gotten us through the evening. He's brought us to a new morning. We should always be in a place that when our eyes open in the morning and our feet hit that floor, we should say, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Because I don't deserve what you've given me. But praise God, you saw fit for me to be alive another day. And I'm going to praise you for that. Because God always has a way of working things out. Paul says, I'm pressing that I may grab hold of that for which Christ has grabbed hold of me. See, it's yours and my responsibility to be better people. Now that Christ has died for our sins, it's our choice what life we want to live. It's our choice how nice or how nasty we want to be. It's our choice Amen. Of how pleasant we want to be or how P-I-S-S-I-S-E-D, how you say it, off we want to be. I'll get it right. Sometimes my spelling eludes me, but with that being the case, it's our choice. It's your and my choice of what people we want to be because God has empowered us through his Holy Spirit to live a life joyous unto him. Or we can sit around in the muck and in the mire and be mad at the world for every little thing that goes on. Yesterday, I was in Richmond for a basketball tournament. And the people who were hosting the basketball tournament asked me to come there and sell some t-shirts. Because I have basketball t-shirts and all that other good stuff. And I said, sure. Why, certainly. They said, well, do you mind selling some of our apparel as well? I said, no, I don't have a problem with that. I would love to do that. So I get there yesterday, driven from Woodbridge all the way to Richmond. A long drive, but long enough into some of this traffic, amen?
Amen.
How many of y'all like traffic? Y'all saw what I did? How many of y'all like traffic? I'm not going to raise my hand. I'm not going to pretend. So through the traffic and I brought my goddaughter with me because I was going to hire her to watch the booth so that she could make a little extra money in her pocket, college kids. So I was going to pay her to watch the booth and do the sales and everything while I also had to coach a basketball game. And so we get there. We done lugged all this stuff. Now, I got to tell you, I told y'all that the truck that Brother Jim helped me out with, I had to get rid of about a month ago because it was just too much money into it. I couldn't afford to put any more money into it. So I had to get rid of it. So I downsized. I got my wife a bigger vehicle, and of course she gave me her smaller vehicle. So I gotta pack everything into the vehicle. We don't have much room for anything left. And so we ride all the way down there, we unpack everything. It's a long walk to where we have to set up the booth. We set up everything, we get there, and the lady walks up to me, she says, excuse me, sir. Now, the people who are running the tournament rented the facility. They don't own the facility. And this is why I'm talking about pressing on to grab hold of that which Christ has grabbed hold of us, amen? That we might be what? Better what? People. Because the choice is who? Ours. Am I correct? Am I right in saying about it?
That's right.
You have a choice to be happy, or you have a choice to be what?
Sad.
You have a choice to give God praise, or you can walk around in that other P word all day long. You can get up out of the muck and mire, or you can stay right where you are and be muddy all by your what?
Self.
And so I get there. Everything is set up. People are starting to come up. They want to purchase items. And the lady said, excuse me. I said, yes, ma'am. She says, I'm the president of the organization that owns this building. I said, yes, ma'am. What can I do for you? She says, do you have your license to sell in Virginia? I said, which license are you talking about? And so she's rambling and rumbling and rambling and rumbling. And so I'm sitting there listening to her because I have a choice on what kind of person I want to be. I see money. Money's coming, but I can't get my hands on it. Who likes making money? I do. I didn't say I love money. I just said I like making what? Money. My heart is prepared. My heart is prepared to make some what? Money. After all my labor of packing that vehicle up, stuffing it with everything, prepared to pay my goddaughter, and all of a sudden I get there, and now I'm challenged with the question, do you have your license? Well, ma'am, what license do you want? And so she really couldn't explain to me which license she was looking for. And she says, well, are you in good standings with the SCC, State Corporation Commission? I said, yes, I am. She said, can you produce your certificates? I said, I don't have them with me. She said, well, do you pay taxes? I said, I sure do. I said, but we can look up on the web and see that my company is in good standings with the state of Virginia. She said, well, let's see it. So, you know, I look on it real quickly. I'm looking, I'm like, and so my mind is so messed up, I keep putting in my tax ID number for the federal government and not my state corporation commission number, and they keep saying, can't find it. I said, the devil's a liar. Because he's trying to mess me up. My mind, right now, I'm like, oh my God, what do you mean? I'm here, I'm in the system. Now, remember, slow down. I thought about it for a second. I said, that's my tax ID number. Let me go to State Corporation, just hit in the name of my company. And I did. My company popped up. It says, in good standings. So I showed it to the certificate, in good standings. She says, well, I need your resale and sale use certificate. I said, well, I don't have an updated version because all they give you is from the time that you establish it until the time you stop. I said, but if you look right here, it says established in September 2013. She said, but I need an up-to-date copy. They don't give you up-to-date annual copies. Once it's established, it's either established, and then when you stop, and they cancel it. I said, but you can take a copy of this and verify it on Tuesday. She says, well, if you don't have what you're supposed to have in place and you decide to sell here and we find that you're in violation of the state of Virginia, then at that point in time, you're going to pay the insurance fees. I said, okay, ma'am. So I said, I'm good. So I'm waiting to sell. People are waiting to buy. And so she says, do you have insurance to sell T-shirts?
She just didn't want you back.
Absolutely. I said, no, ma'am, I don't. She says, well, you can't sell. I said, praise God. That's exactly what I told her. I said, praise God. So she says, well, I can call the man that rented the place and see if he wants to put you up underneath of his insurance of liability for selling. I don't know. Maybe I was going to drop a T-shirt on somebody and then get an injury. I don't know. I don't know. I didn't know that 4.5 ounce T-shirt was going to do some significant damage to anybody, but, and I said, don't call him. I said, it's not that serious. It's not that serious. I said, what I'll do is I'll pack up everything, fold up the tables, repack the car. Now, I had been there. My first game was not till 3 o'clock, but I got there at like 8:30, 8:45 that morning. So I said, no worries. I'll pack up everything and put it back in the car. And so the lady that was sitting beside me, who was a trainer, and there was another person on the other side of me, they said, my goodness. I said, it's okay. God is so good to me. Why is God so good to me? Because from the time that I left on yesterday morning to the time I arrived in Richmond, I could have been in a serious car accident. My tire could have blown. A number of things could have helped happen to me. God had to allow me to get up out of bed, to pack up all that stuff, get in a car that I can drive, and head on to what? Richmond. There's so many things to be thankful about versus being mad over one situation that's out of my control, where what's in my control is who? Me. And so Paul says, I press on. So when that thing was working against me, I pressed on anyway in Christ Jesus to show that Jesus is Lord over my what? Life. That I'm not going to let an instance or one small thing stop me from giving God glory. My family is healthy. No, we may not have everything in order. No, we may not be in the best of health, but God has given us an opportunity to see another great day. Hallelujah. Okay. And so like Paul said, the principle, as I was telling you, the church of Philippi was in an uproar somewhat because people were trying to hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he told them to press on anyway. That principle is no matter what's trying to work against you, you have the ability to press on anyway and give God some what? Praise. My friend says he's 90 years old and he's ready to go on and see the Lord. Hallelujah. He said he knows that the door, that he's at the door of seeing his Lord and Savior. And he welcomes the opportunity to meet God. He told me, he says, you are a sheriff, aren't you? I said, yes, sir, I am a sheriff. I am a sheriff. Praise God. He said, then you better give it to us good. Hallelujah. He wanted me to bring both laws. He wanted me to bring God's law and man's law. And oftentimes, not man's law. Oftentimes, not all the time, but all the time, man's law does line up with God's law because that's what man extracts it from. But at the end of the day, look at what we need to do in our lives. Amen. That when you leave from here this morning, the devil's going to try you in something. And if it's not the devil, it's somebody. Somebody's going to say something wrong. Somebody's going to cut you off at the grocery store. Somebody's going to take the pump that you were trying to wait to get gas as you're coming into Wawa. And somebody else is getting into Wawa, and that one pump is open, and you've had the lead, but this person whips around to take it from you, and you're going to look at them real carefully. And you're going to want to say some things to them. But you got to give God what?
Praise.
Because he gives us patience through his Spirit. Who knows, that person may not have had any gas left in the tank, and they didn't get to that last spot, their car may have cut off. I don't know. I don't know why they felt the need to take what God was giving me or what I had the opportunity to get first. But let them have it. Amen. Just drive on up, either wait behind them or go into the parking space and go on Wawa and get one of those good old cups of coffee. I told somebody yesterday in the Wawa, I said, you know you're getting older that when it's 91 degrees outside, your favorite drink is a hot cup of coffee. And so I was drinking coffee yesterday, and I was drinking it. But we have to do what? Press on. Tell your neighbor, you have to press on. Come on, work with me. Tell your neighbor, you have to press on. Because every day there's going to be a fight. Every day there's going to be a challenge. Every day there's going to be something not working right in your life. We were talking about health. I wrote the book about marriage because I understand that even in marriage is difficult. But we still have to do what? Press on. Now, I'm a young chicken in marriage in comparison to some who have been on the battlefield of marriage for a long time. But I do know that in June, my wife and I will be celebrating 27 years. We have gone, thank you so much, we've gone through so many different things, battles, health-wise. She's a two-time cancer patient. She's been delivered from breast cancer and pancreatic cancer. She's had 5 operations in 8 years. And she's a breath of life. And she would love to have been here this morning with us, but she was preaching at our church in my place. But she sends her love this morning. She does. She loves being down here with me. Now, had she been down here, y'all have seen her just as glowing and bright and loving the Lord and praising him. That's what she loves to do. She loves praising God. She says, there's not a bad day. Not a bad day. Not a bad what? Day. And so let me hurry on so we can get out of here and close up. But the Apostle Paul says, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of us so that we can be better people. We're saved. We're sanctified. We have the Holy Ghost. But God wants us to still be better what? People. Because we have to deal with this flesh each and every day, don't we? How many of y'all wake up sometimes on the wrong side of the bed? So now I have a question for you. Here's my question of the day. The next time you wake up on the wrong side of the bed, I want you to pull that fitted sheeted back and see if it says posturpedic or wrong side of the bed. That's what I want. I want you to see if it's a ceiling mattress or the wrong side of the bed mattress. Because really there's never a what? Wrong side of the bed. It's just the state of mind that we choose to get up in. We've let what happened the night before carry on into the next day. And we've allowed it to sour what God has given us to be beautiful. Isn't that true? We go to bed mad and we wake up mad. They should have never made king-sized beds. Uh-oh. Let me move on. Praise God. You mad with the spouse? She's on one end and you're on the other end. It's like being in Virginia and California at the same time. You can't, there's so much space in, but they never should have made those beds for us. Married couples, there should be a law, you sleep in full size. No, I'm just kidding. Baby, you're so divisive. Don't you touch me. Huh? Keep your feet over there. So, they sure have given us a way to work things out. But he says, I'm pressing to lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And I'm closing in just a minute. But how many of us are still holding on to things of the past? God's delivered us from so much. Yes. Sometimes we are our own worst enemies. Amen. We don't know how to forgive ourselves. God has forgiven us, and we don't know how to forgive ourselves. We're holding on to so many things that are painful and things that people have done to hurt us. But God says, if you don't learn how to forgive, I can't what? Forgive you. If we can't forgive those who have offended us, God can't forgive us. Because certainly Christ took on the sins of the world, and not one of those sins was his. Not one. I can't imagine what kind of pain that was. But it was so great, it caused Jesus himself to say, if this cup could what? Pass from me. But then he says, he presses on. He says, not my what will, but thy what will be done. And that's what we have to learn to do every time we find ourselves in an adverse situation. We have to say, not my what will, but thy what will be done. How do you not know that God's not using you to win somebody else over? A person who may have offended you, when they see Christ reigning richly in your heart, God will change that hardened person to realize that you've done nothing to them. And they treated you bad. All you showed them was the love of God. God will spin that person around and bring them right back to you. Not for us to say, I told you so, but just to give them a hug and tell them how much you love them because Christ first loved me. Come on, church, give God some praise. Hallelujah. So forget those things which are behind and look forward and press ahead. Paul says in verse 14, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Can I share this one last scripture with you? It's in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. As we're pressing on, look at what God's expectations are of us. Now, I was on the treadmill the other day. Not the treadmill, I'm sorry, the elliptical. And I was reading in Proverbs 24:29. And he says, do not say in your heart, I will repay you for what you've done to me. That's what God says. And I thank God for delivering me because I was a paying back somebody. Amen. You did it to me, I'm going to get you back. But God has delivered me from that. And he's brought me to that place in Matthew chapter 7. I'll go to Colossians. Matthew chapter 7, 12. He says, do unto others as you would have them what? Do unto you. Not pay others back for what they've done to you, but you be the example of Christ in the earth. Amen. Don't wait for somebody to show you kindness before you become what? Kind. Don't get mad because you opened the door and they didn't say thank you when they walked ahead of you. Don't be mad that when you all are pulling up to the parking space, as I did, and I was getting back in a car whipped into my space. Let it go. So much more. Don't be mad when the person that you've allowed to get in front of you as y'all are driving, they didn't throw up a hand to say thank you. And in your mind, you're saying, you no good joker. I should have never let you in. But in Colossians 3, this is what the Lord says, and I'm done. Colossians 3, I'm just going to read 12 verses. I'm not going to expound on them. I just want you to hear them. So they're written upon the tablets of our heart. This is what he says. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, put on kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bear with one another. Ooh, isn't that a good one? Bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love.
which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Oh, I like verse 17. Verse 17 says, and whatever you do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Not when you're 5, 10, 15, 20, but always obey your parents. Amen. Doesn't matter how old you are, they're still your what? Parents. He says, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Yes, we are fathers, but I got to remember my son at 20. He's growing up now. I can't still treat him like he's 12, but he's still got to respect me like I'm his what? Dad. He says, lest you become discouraged. Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasing, but as sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Let's give the Lord some praise this morning. God is so good. Isn't he good, church? We have a choice. It's up to us. I don't want to be mad at people. I want to spend my whole day just caught up on something that God has given me power to move beyond. Let it be what it's going to be. And just thank God that we have this opportunity. And if somebody makes you mad today, just go down here to the lake and look at it. And thank God for all his greenery. He says, listen, all his creation speaks of his glory. Isn't it a good thing? All of his creation. It's a good thing to be able to look across the lake, see all the peace that God has given us, enjoy the works of his marvelous hands, and giving him thanks for what he's done in our lives. With that being the case, I thank you. God is so good, and his mercy endures what? Forever. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you, Pastor Todd. If I could get my volunteers to set up for continental breakfast. I see one hiding behind the pole over there. The coffee pots need to be brought forward. There's one over by the soda machines. So anyway, while they're doing that, let's all stand and...
You always let the room go fast, Mr. Chairman.
We're going to turn to 677. Oh, Lord.
Now I love you all way, Mr. Chairman. That's what the men do best.
What's that, Tim?
You always let the room go fast.
We're going to do this, and hopefully this is your prayer, and I've been somebody's requesting a song.